Dear friends in Jesus Christ, when I was called to be the pastor here at Bethlehem Parma back 28 years ago, there was a slogan I noticed after a while being here at the bottom of the church letterhead, and it said this: a living Christ for a dying world. And I thought, oh, that's a pretty great slogan. So that was Pastor Hoffner, I'm sure, coming up with that slogan. I don't know how long Bethlehem used it at the time, but we continued to use that letterhead for some years to come. So a living Christ for a dying world. When I think back to that now, 28 years ago, we lived in a little bit different world than we live in today. I think people were, how can I put it? They were more decent people. People tended to be good. They tended to do what was right. We didn't have the chaos that we find in the world today. But I think, though, even though what I just said is a positive thing, I think there's also a danger there. Think about what it says here in Proverbs chapter 14. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. In other words, people can be like, oh, I'm a decent person. I do pretty good. I go to church. I'm this, I'm that. And they kind of presume that somehow they're good enough and somehow God's going to welcome them into heaven and somehow it's going to be okay for eternity. So it's good to live in a better environment in our nation, but it's also possible to be deceived about that. We don't want that to happen to anyone. I was in that category. I was deceived. I don't want that for anyone else. What about today, though? I think today, 28 years later, we have gone in this direction. So the ones that were deceived a long time ago and the ones that continue to be deceived today, maybe this passage is describing them. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Think about someone who is really in Christ. What's going on with a person like that? They are growing up in Christ. They are reading their Bible. They're finding out more and more what the Word of God says, and they are living that out more and more in their lives. Think about a child. Well, here's Briar right up front. Briar's going to have a baby here coming up in October. When your baby is born, I bet the baby will be about this big. However, though, if I saw that baby like in 20 years, I bet the baby would be this big. In other words, it's a natural thing, isn't it, that we're born small, but then we grow and we grow and we grow. Wouldn't it be odd if a person was in Christ and yet they remained as a spiritual infant? That would be a really odd thing, wouldn't it? What I'm trying to say here is, for those who are in Christ, it's natural that they're growing up in the Word, they're growing up in Christ. You can see that they are blossoming into this mature Christian person. What about for those who are not in Christ? Unfortunately, they are slipping in the other direction, and they're becoming more and more like the fallen world in which we live. But still, though, even as people go in that direction, a lot of times in their own minds they're thinking, well, I know I'm not a perfect person. I know I should be doing maybe this, this, and this, but I'm not. But still, though, I think I'm a decent person. I'm not as bad as those guys over there, and I still think somehow God is smiling upon me. So here they are deceived, and what do they end up doing? Now they're interacting with family and friends, and they're basically giving the impression, thinking, well, I think I'm okay with God. So then they're pulling others to think that, oh, somehow they must be okay with God too. And unknown to them, they are drawing people to join them in their eternal torment. And they don't even know it. I'm afraid we live in that kind of a world today. I think it's been that way throughout time, but maybe even more today than it was a long time ago. That's really the reason why I wanted to write this brochure. My hope and prayer is that God will use it to open many blind hearts to the truth and lead many to repent and believe. Maybe all of us are in that category, I don't know. Just because people come to church, it doesn't automatically mean that you know Jesus Christ. I pray that's true. If you're uncertain about it, let's talk about it. But I hope that's true for all of us. But God wants to use each of us in order to reach others. So that's really what I'm trying to do here with the brochure and maybe especially with the card. Well, in the brochure, if you saw it, you would see I have 8 parts in the brochure. I'm only going to do less than 2 parts today, but it doesn't mean it's going to be a long sermon next week. The other parts are like super short. But anyway, though, the first question in the brochure, when were the mighty deeds of God spoken? Well, that takes us right to the day of Pentecost. So you might remember back on May 19th of this year, that was the day of Pentecost for this year. And on that day, that is when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon Jesus' apostles. And what were they doing? They were speaking the mighty deeds of God, and they were speaking the mighty deeds of God in the languages that the people who were gathered knew the best. Now, did they study those languages? They didn't. That was the miracle. God loved those people so much, he wanted them to know the truth. And for any of you who speak multiple languages, I would presume that you know one language better than another. So if you could hear the mighty deeds of God, it would be better if you heard them in your best language. I think that's exactly what was going on the day of Pentecost. That was a miracle that these Galileans, here they are speaking by the Holy Spirit in the best language for all of those various people who were gathered there on that day. Well, when I thought about what was going on there in the mighty deeds of God, now it doesn't tell us exactly what they were saying, but we know they were talking mighty deeds of God, so that led me to put together this card. So the idea of the card is that we would hand it to someone, maybe someone we know, maybe leave it for someone that we don't know, but I'm hoping that someone would look at it and say, oh, that's an interesting looking card, that hopefully they would read down through there and say, oh, this is something about God. Now, they might get rid of it right away when they see it's about God. When I think about that, it takes me back decades ago when a lot of times I would travel on the Ohio Turnpike and also the New York Thruway. And back then, they didn't have any easy pass. You had to stop at every toll booth. So anyway, my practice was I would have to stop at the toll booth, and I would have these Christian tracts with me. So I would grab a tract, I would have my toll ticket, and I would have the money, in Ohio I had a credit card, but I would hand the person in the booth the information, and for the most part, they would receive the Christian tract, they wouldn't say anything about it, and then they would give me my change, I'd be on my way. Some people, on rare occasion, as soon as they saw it was something Christian, they would turn back right, and they're looking right at me, and they would hold it up, and they would tear it in half. And they were just saying, I want nothing to do with this God stuff, this Jesus stuff that you're trying to give me. Even when that happened, though, I thought, well, even though they did that, I'm still glad I tried to give it to them. So they can do whatever they want with it. That's how this card is, too. But what I'm hoping, though, is it's small enough and short enough that somebody might say, well, what is this about? Oh, this God, he created everything out of nothing. He knows the intent of our hearts. He wants us to be with him forever. He actually made the way for us to be with him forever. And what is that way? Oh, he's calling all of us to repent and believe. I wonder what that even means. So then they can go to the website on the card and they can find out a lot more about the mighty deeds of God. So that's the idea of the card. So I'll talk more about it next week, but I'm hoping that you'll pick up a bunch of the cards and maybe even carry them in your pocket or in your purse. Like for me, I end up having a little thing like this that I bought, and inside of it, I have some of the Mighty Deeds of God cards. I have my own card that's advertising our teaching ministry here at Bethlehem. Then I have one of the some of the church cards in here. But all these different cards are available. Like, you guys could carry them with you, and you're out talking with someone. Maybe they're looking for a church. You can give them the appropriate card. You're in a restaurant. You can leave the Mighty Deeds of God card. If you do that, make sure you leave a good tip. That's important. And you could even be like this man that I met through Dr. Geisler years ago, and I was surprised the way he proceeded, but he wanted to get some information from me, like cards and brochures and so on. And then he told me, with his traveling, whenever he would go to a restaurant or stay at a hotel, he would take that Christian piece, and he had this little tiny stapler he carried with him, and he would staple the Christian information to the money. So that way they couldn't so easily just throw it away. They'd have to like try to pry it apart so they didn't tear the money. And it was a way to try to get people to actually take a look at what he was giving. So you might want to go that far too. We'll talk more about that next time. But anyway, though, I want to get to a little bit of the mighty deeds of God here. So what are some of them? Well, first of all, we come to the topic of creation. Here in Genesis 1:1, you may not have that many verses down by memory, but I bet you all know the very first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What is that telling us? If we look at the Bible carefully, the Bible is telling us that God spoke the entire world into existence. What kind of an awesome, awesome God are we talking about here who could speak this awesome world into existence? God wants everyone to understand that is the world in which we live. It is so vast, it is so awesome, and God is keeping it going moment by moment, day by day. Think about creation being this great miracle, and it's not just a one-time miracle, it's an ongoing miracle, and we're living right in the middle of it. Isn't that amazing? We're experiencing it every moment of every day. We have air to breathe. We have sun we can look at. We have a moon at nighttime. We have the temperature that is right for human beings to live. Look at all the things that are growing. Look at all the things that God provides for us to eat. Look at the water we have in abundance on planet Earth. All these different things, God has created them, and God keeps providing them for us. Let's not buy into the idea that somehow, if we're not careful, we're going to destroy the earth. God has made it, God is sustaining it, and when the time is right, God will bring it to an end. But let's live in peace, thankful for what God has done, and not worried about somehow us ruining God's creation. God is going to keep it going. God has promised that in His Word. And then going on to the topic of God's power here. Now we're in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And the Bible says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes. What can we say about God? God is spirit. God is eternal. God is unchangeable. God is holy. God is good. All these different things about God, they are invisible, and yet they are true. We can't see the invisible attributes, but we can see the goodness of God in all that He has made. So since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they, those who reject God, are without excuse. Think about people who are atheists. Do you understand that atheism is growing in the world? More and more people are saying there is no God. What is God saying here? When those atheists stand before God someday and they're going to try to explain somehow that they're good people and that they didn't know about God and they didn't know the truth and somehow they should be welcomed in, well, I don't think they're going to get a chance to say anything. If you think about the parable of the wedding banquet, the man who did not have the right clothes on, the Bible says when he went to speak, he was silenced. He could not say anything. There is no excuse to give. These people who are atheists, they are living in the middle of God's miracle, and yet they're denying there is an awesome, almighty God who made it and who is sustaining it. What about people who believe in evolution? They're also saying there is no God. They're saying that somehow the world in which we live, it came about by random chance. Think about taking anything complex and just like throwing it. Does it all turn into something amazing? Evolutionists have this kind of an idea. You have to think about down the hall of our church here and go down to where we have the triple set of steps. So you have steps, steps, and steps. So evolutionists look at it like this. They said if you had a 5-gallon pail of ping pong balls, and you were at the top of the steps, and you dumped them down the steps. Can you imagine all the bouncing, 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 bouncing? They said if you did that enough times, now a whole bunch of times, but finally though, all those ping pong balls would stack up at the bottom of the steps into a perfect pyramid. That's how they look at it. So if you have enough time and enough chance, it's going to turn out that way. I want you to know that that is utterly ridiculous, but what are they doing though? They're trying to say that we live in this awesome world and yet there is no God, so we can do whatever we want to do and there are no eternal consequences. That's what they want to tell themselves, and someday they're going to find out there is no excuse, and what is God going to say to them? Well, think about Matthew 25. Jesus said, "Then I will also say to those on my left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." God wants us to know that there is no excuse for not recognizing there's an awesome God. And once we recognize that, then we're going to know the Bible is true. Then we're going to know we are sinners. Then we're going to know our desperate need for God's Son, who did everything to take away our sins and make the way for us to be with God forever. Well, I want to talk about another one here, talking about God's knowledge. So I want to go to the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 28:9. And this is a situation here where 1,000 years before the time of Christ, King David, the greatest of all the kings of Israel, apart from our Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest of all the kings, he's been reigning as king now for 40 years. He's about ready to die. His son Solomon is going to become the next king, and David is giving his son Solomon some really important advice. Notice what he said to him. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father." Don't know about him, but know him. In other words, be in a relationship with him. Understand that you are a fallen creature. Understand that God has made the world, that God loves you, that God has promised to send his son. Not only know such things, but be in relationship with God. That's what David said to Solomon. Know the God of your father. And then upon knowing him, what is natural upon knowing him? Serve him, not in a half-hearted way, but serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. Don't live begrudgingly as a Christian. Oh, if I have to do it, I'll do it, but I really don't want to do it. Don't be that way. Why should Solomon not have been that way? Why should we not be that way? Notice what David went on to say. "For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts." So the Lord knows all we think, say, and do. The Lord also knows the reason why we think what we think, the reason why we say what we say, the reason why we do what we do. I'm thinking about the Imagine Heaven book for a moment, and there's a scene there where this doctor, he finds himself talking to Jesus in heaven, and he's trying to tell Jesus what a great person he is, and he says to Jesus, I became a doctor in order to help people. He's trying to make points with Jesus. And Jesus said back to him, I know that's not the reason why you became a doctor. I know your heart. I know the intent of your heart. I know that you became a doctor because you wanted to live in a big home and you wanted to drive a fancy car. So can you see how we can put forward one intent, and yet God knows the very intent of the heart. He knows exactly what's going on. Let's not try to fool him. And then David went on to say, if you seek him, he will let you find him, but if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. For example, like right this very moment, I don't know what you're thinking, and I don't know why you're thinking it, but God knows so. There's nothing we can hide from him. Let's understand that to reject the Almighty God and to reject his Son and to reject the Holy Spirit who is trying to work in the heart and life of everyone, to reject that is to bring devastating, eternal consequences upon ourselves. I don't want that for anyone. That's the reason why I'm talking about it. That's the reason why we have the card, so we can reach out to others with this important information. Just one more for today. I want to talk here about God's desire for all to be saved. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, God our Savior desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I say this to you, and I say it really to the whole world, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done that is wrong, no matter how long you have done it, I want you to know that with every single sin, on Good Friday, God the Father gathered up all of those sins of yours, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, all the way to the end of the world, and he put every one of them upon his Son, and then God the Father poured out his eternal wrath, his eternal punishment upon his Son. And after that, what did Jesus say? He said, tetelestai. In other words, he said, it is finished. Literally, he said, it has been paid in full. That's what he did on Good Friday. That means that for all of us miserable sinners, hey, our full penalty has been paid. What about the guy who has done mass murder? What about the abortion doctor who has put to death countless preborn babies? Were those sins put on the cross? They were. So even for such people like that, there is forgiveness in Jesus. Everything that everyone needs is available, and God is offering it to all who repent and believe. Let's be thankful that God has done that for us. Let's be thankful that by the work of the Holy Spirit, we are in relationship with Jesus. We have the forgiveness of our sins. Let's greatly rejoice in that. And then let's think about others who are not in our same situation. And, well, let me conclude like this. Next week is part 2 of 2, and I want you to start planning now how you might make use of these cards. I hope you're going to carry some with you, and I hope you would leave them in a restaurant. Do you need to buy a small stapler? I don't know. I encourage you to be bold in giving them out. Hey, what about at Christmas time? Do you send out Christmas cards? Couldn't you put one of these in every card? You don't know what people are going to do with it. If you go fishing, can you see the fish when you cast your line into the water? No, you're doing it on faith. You're thinking, well, if I throw it in there, maybe there are some fish and maybe I'll catch a fish. This is kind of like fishing. We can't necessarily know what's going to happen, but we can put them out there and leave it up to the work of the Holy Spirit. So I hope you're excited about doing that. Well, I have more to come yet, but for now, though, let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your mighty deeds. We thank you for your great creation. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for sustaining it. Help us to recognize more and more day by day, we are living in the middle of such an awesome miracle. Help us to rejoice in it. Help others to have their eyes opened that they would see it too. They would understand that there is an awesome God, and they would get into your word. They would find out the truth. They would repent. They would be set free. They would be with us for eternity. Dear Father, we pray that you would use these cards in the weeks and months to come, that people would come in contact with them, they would read them, they would be led to the website, and we pray that ultimately you would do the work by the Holy Spirit in order to bring many into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.